Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm your host, Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we help Queensland families find clarity and confidence in estate planning and disputes. Now, today we are continuing our May theme of estate disputes with the question around family provision applications in Queensland under the Succession Act. So very clear that succession law differs state by state. So today I'm talking about family provision applications under the Succession Act in Queensland. Now, if you've listened to my previous podcast, you'll know now the difference between challenging and contesting a will. So we're talking about the contesting of the will. And it's a process where people feel like if they've been unfairly left out or not adequately provided for, they can contest the will. I have to say, I get a lot of questions about contesting wills from clients, just generally at the old family BBQ. You know, people always have a story about a will being contested. And it is often front of mind when we are preparing your estate plan, particularly if a person is looking to do an uneven distribution between their children or not provide for one or more of their children or spouse, even though I must say it's more rare not to include a spouse than a child. But it is something that is like very topical that people ask me about a lot. And so a family provision application, or an FPA for short, is an application made to the Supreme Court by someone who believes that the deceased will or intestacy provisions, but today we're just going to focus on a will, did not make adequate provision for their proper maintenance and support. So the will is valid. We all accept that the will is valid, but the applicant is saying that they haven't had adequate provision. Now, who can make a claim? This is one that people really are surprised by and come to me, go on about ex-husbands and all these random randos making claims. But the people that are eligible in Queensland under the Succession Act that have an unconditional right to contest are the spouse of the deceased. So that is a married spouse or husband, wife, de facto partner or civil partner. And in Queensland, the definition of spouse for the purposes of the Succession Act is 2 years living together on a genuine domestic basis. And that is why, sorry, there was a long pause there because I was just thinking about, you know, what that means. And quite often you'll hear stories, this is one of the classic stories that you hear, of someone that may have been dating or recently ended a relationship and they passed away, and the other person is trying to claim that they are the spouse so that they have either the highest priority, if it's a letters of administration, to make an application, or they can contest the will on the basis that they haven't adequately provided for. So that's a very common one you'll hear where someone's trying to say that they are a spouse, which they may actually not be. The second category of people that can contest a will are children, and that includes biological and adopted children, and in some circumstances also stepchildren. And this is the one which really trips up clients. I will very often have clients that make inadequate provision for children, and that is really on the basis of estrangement more than anything, or on the basis of the care and support other children in this set of children may have had for that person. And that's a really, really big one. So what I often find is that there'll be one child that takes over a lot of the care of the elderly parent, and then the elderly parent wants to kind of make provision for that in the will, which I understand why, but if everyone's not on board, it can lead to a contesting of the will. And of course, this really depends on the size of the estate and everything. And then the last category is a dependent. So it can include anyone who is financially dependent on you and was a member of the household at the time of death. So a classic example might be where you have a family member, maybe a niece or a nephew, living with you. You financially support them. Maybe they have some kind of disability and you look after them. And then if you don't provide for them in your will, they can contest your estate. So those are the people that we're looking at. The time limit to contest a will, so to make a FPA in Queensland, is quite strict. You need to notify the executor of your intention to make a claim within 6 months, and then the application must be filed in the Supreme Court within 9 months of the date of death. So you need to kind of quickly figure out whether this is appropriate for you. In reality, when you're contesting a will, there's some kind of negotiation about what it looks like. And what I see in practice is quite often, if there's siblings that haven't adequately provided for, the other siblings will kind of agree to a different distribution than what is in the will. And that is not a great outcome for the deceased because it's not what their wishes are, but a kind of good outcome for the estate. Because the reality is, making an application is very expensive. Takes a lot of time and it's extremely stressful because the majority of the time it really is your other family members, right? That you're kind of, in quotations, taking money or taking, you know, assets away from. So it is a really stressful process. People will often say to me, well, tell me the likelihood that a contesting of the will be successful. And I say, well, I don't have a crystal ball because the reality is what the court looks like is at the time of death, not at the time of making the will generally. So you might have a will that's 20 years old and then somebody contests it. What the relationship was or what the position was 20 years ago is going to be definitely different at the time of death. So the court looks at a number of factors, and these include the relationship between the applicant and the deceased, the financial circumstances of the applicant. So we will often say that if you have one child that is more financially dependent on you or has some kind of disability, they may have a high chance of being successful in an application. The court will look at the size and the nature of the estate, any moral obligation the deceased may have had to the applicant. And that's really like particularly around spouses, you know, the moral obligation to like for them to live as they were living. Whether the applicant was already adequately provided for in other circumstances and whether there are other competing claims. So it's really about the proper support that arguably should have been provided to the applicant, the person making the claim. But it really comes down to a number of factors. And that's why I really can't give anyone a kind of, this is your prospects or likelihood. What I say to people, particularly if they're doing an unequal, you know, provision, is the risk is always there. Even if your de facto spouse says that they'll never contest a will, the risk maintains because their ability to contest the will is in legislation. It cannot be changed. And this leads to another point that people say to me, can they agree not to contest my will? And no. In Queensland, you can't make an agreement with someone to not contest their will. It's just invalid. It's unenforceable. Doesn't work. So that's why I say the risk is always there. And it's up to you as the deceased to take that risk. A lot of people say to me, this is ridiculous. This is my will. These are my wishes. I shouldn't have anyone else tell me what is done with my money. And to be honest, as a practitioner, I largely agree. Like, you're the person that has often worked very hard, built a substantial estate, or made sacrifices for your family or maybe some of your children, and you often have people making significant sacrifices for you. Shouldn't you have the ability to write down your wishes and them to be honored after you have died? You know, I'm really that person now that it really actually annoys me. Can I say that? This will probably prevent me getting any estate disputes from anyone in the future. But I do find it frustrating, and I can see the frustration in people when they come to me and I have to explain the risk to them and literally say, you know, there's nothing you can really do to completely cut out the risks. But there are some things that you can do to minimize a claim. And the number one thing is to get legal advice when drafting your will. DIY will, internet will ain't going to cut it when you are doing an unequal provision and it is likely that there's going to be contesting to your estate, okay? You really need to get some legal advice. And the kind of legal advice that I would be giving to somebody is really giving them different options, different ways that they may be able to provide for people. Often we'll do a statutory declaration to sit beside your will, which explains why you have done what you have done. The other thing is going through a lot of different scenarios as well, particularly with blended families. So blended family dynamics are a really big one because people that have children from previous relationships and then children in their current relationships really struggle with the dynamic and the split. And I feel like it's one of those when it comes to talk about money, it's all happy-go-lucky until you talk about money. So you need to get proper advice about ways that you can minimize the risk. I want to be very clear, you'll never rid the risk unless you do an absolute equal provision between children or you give everything to your spouse. That is the only way that your risk will be minimized. But if you don't want to do that, you really need to come up with some ways to do that. So if you're thinking, oh, I'd like to contest a will, or gee, I think my will might be contested, you should probably hop on my website, www.vicarlaw.com.au, book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar, and we can talk about exactly what the position is because it is a really big one. It's front and center of many people's minds and it's definitely 100% something that you need legal advice on. So I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflict, and I will speak to you next week. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, visit www.vicarlaw.com.au to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicar, signing off. The Vicar Podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.